It's just a point of fact of careful what you wish for. You might. Somebody has said to me, "Why haven't you done this before?" And I did a lot of promotion for the first two books, and I found people turned up when I was doing what they, you know, promotion for that at various places. And sometimes you looked out and there'd be 1,000 people or so, and then I found out they were charging them to get in. And I said, wow, I am, you know, I can do this. It's just like radio without microphones. And I said in an idle moment, I'd really like to, you know, do more of that. And as I say, careful what you wish for. They came back and said, well, we've got 39 dates here from Barrow down to the Isle of Wight. And wow, okay. And then you start thinking, well, what am I going to do? And I'm still thinking that. But it's after 41 years in this racket and working with everyone from, you know, Spike Milligan to the Sex Pistols and on and on to today's crowd, I should be able to do 90 minutes, certainly with the help of the audience, it should fly by. But actually have a structure to it? No, I haven't.
It's been a great career, Danny, hasn't it? Print, television, radio. Is radio still your first love, though?
Oh, I can't get arrested in radio. It's what I do. I still have the 2 hours on Saturday morning, and they keep giving us awards, if you like, and I'm in the Radio Hall of Fame. But actually give me radio to do, nobody touches me with a barge pole. I would do radio every day of the week. And I'm now just one show away from not being in radio at all. And if I got run over by a steamroller, they'd say, oh, he was good on the radio, but they won't give me any work in radio. So, you know, there it is. I'll just go out and talk to people anyway.
You say about, and I love that analogy, it's radio without microphones, being up on stage. And,
yeah.
And I guess you relish being up in front of a live audience and getting them to interact with you as well. Is that what it's all
That's
about?
That's the second half of the show will be that, I presume, if people are good enough to, I think they're going to set up their Twitter feeds, and if people have to hand in pieces of paper, but that's fine. And people always kind of look at you askance when you say, I don't know what I'm going to say, but I hope it'll be entertaining. I can pretty much field any question. I think I know whether it's stories about my family that got made into the cradle to the grave, or whether it's quite interesting things about actually working in this business. The one thing they've got to do, and they are doing, is putting a clock on the stage. Because they said,
well, it's just like being back in the radio studio.
Exactly. They're going to put a clock. They said, after 40 minutes, could you stop and we have an interval and then we move on? I want to be a high kick in Hell's a Poppin' Night. And people think, oh, we must have some plan. But I can guarantee the show in Lincoln will be like no other, because there's no other way of working. I'm not a comedian. I don't go from one thing to another. It's not a slideshow. We will see how we are on the night, and we'll have a thundering good time. And I'm tremendously indiscreet, so that should work well.
The Cradle to Grave series, teleseries, just how enjoyable was that to
it's,
do?
Other than being in the jungle recently, no, that's number two. Number one, yeah, seeing the books made real and seeing my mum and dad recreated. And those stories I've been telling for so long. And the great thing about doing something like that, and people say, how do you, you know, Jeff Pope and I wrote it, and how do you come up with that? It's because it happened. And anyone knows the great difference between fiction and real life is real life doesn't have to make sense. So things like if people saw it, the hand grenade in the dustbin, or the thing with Miss Blondell, the teacher, or any of the stuff that happened indoors, and the fella who died wearing his mate's trousers. I've been telling those stories a very, very long time. And so all it was a matter of husbanding them into a series. But it was tremendous to do, and it was a wonderful production. No expense was spared. And Peter Kay playing my dad, it was a terrific thing to do, wonderful thing to do.
Superb. You mentioned the jungle. I was obviously going to ask you about that. Did that bring a whole new fan base to
No, not at all. As you see, I went out first. I think people
it was
made
still
them
enjoyable, though, Danny.
Oh, it was a wonderful job. And, you know, I'm 60 next year. So the kids who went on, of course they were going to go on. And you don't get any more money for staying in longer, by the way. So, and myself and Larry, we just said, you know, we've done it. I mean, I had a week in a hotel before it. Then you're in there for 8 days. It's terrific in there. No matter what they make it look like, it's terrific in there. You can't buy a holiday like that. It is wonderful. And then afterwards, 10 days on the beach there, it was. But it didn't bring in any new fan base. No, as I say, I think people made their mind up a long time ago. They think I'm the fellow who did the Daz adverts, and that's fine.
I always remember Danny Baker saying, and I'm not going to quote you verbatim on this, but your beloved Millwall, no matter how they perform on a Saturday afternoon, you're always there for a bit more the following week. Does that more or less sum up the recipe for life for you and your career as well?
No, really. I live for pleasure alone. I've come from no background that suggests I would ever have made a living doing, say, this Swiss Army knife thing, whether you're a writer or you're a producer or you're radio or you're television. When I left school at 14 and went to work in a record shop, you've got no idea, which is why the first book was called Going to Sea in a Sieve. Had no idea. And I am a Pollyanna. I'm an extremely optimistic, upbeat fella. I hope I always have had. I think I've got a perspective on this nitwit business that I've been tumbling around for 41 years. I plan to start scaling down whatever it is I do from next year when I'm 60, because life should have a third act, I always think. And my rock and roll years, and people don't know I toured the world with rock bands, you know, when I was a teenager, which is exactly what you should be doing. And we'll see. My plan is to write by the ocean, because I've got quite a few writing jobs for the next few years, and I don't think anyone's going to miss me if I tiptoe out of the...
I really think you're not going to slow down, Danny, anytime soon.
If you know any radio jobs going, I'd like that. I wouldn't mind that.
Finally then, Danny, just to sum up, what can we look forward to when you come to Lincoln?
Over men and horses, hoops and garters, lastly through a hogshead of real fire, as the Beatles say in benefit of Mr. Kite. I have no idea. I hope that will come across, that when you walk onto the stage, it'll be a high energy, unique show, because I had no idea what I'm going to do. And I think, like on the radio, people quite like that. They think, you know what, that wasn't off the shelf. They're not going to see that tomorrow night in, you know, Telford or Leeds. And I hope the show in Lincoln, people will bring your little recorders there, bootleg it. That'll be fine by me, because it won't be like anything else on the tour, which is the only way I know how to work.